I'm going to hurry up and go pee-pee.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. That's right, we are going uncut again. I actually loaded the right intro into the soundboard this time, so I didn't have to clumsily, like, abruptly fade it down like a giant oaf. But yes, we are back with another brand new episode of the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We love you. Thank you so much for being here and tuning in. I am, of course, Nick. Justin is still taking a piss, but the ghost of Justin, we are not alone this evening. I need to get like a heavenly prayer sound on the soundboard that's like, oh, whenever we announce that the god of podcasting himself is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Epic Film Guys, Epic Film Guy. Loy Choth, Loy Sauce, Loy A1 Steak Sauce, whatever else Justin calls you.
Well, thank you for having me. Nick, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like you're dipping in and out in the audio.
Ooh. Check, check, sound check.
That's better.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes, for whatever reason, I think the intro, like, I don't know. I got to play around with the mixer. Like, I think maybe I have the bass too high on the mixer. So I think the bass just causes it to just redline just a touch, even though it doesn't look like it does on the mixer. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're uncut again. This would all normally find its way onto the cutting room floor, but unfortunately, no, I don't want to. And we're not going to.
What happened?
What
happened?
Who's that?
What?
I didn't suck a dick last night. What, Lorraine? What?
What was it, George? Bird watching?
And there, of course, is Justin. And I think he does the belching thing on purpose now because he knows we're rolling with this uncut style, this uncut format, as it were. And he just loves to just anger me.
To be honest with you, I'm just sitting here looking at shirtless photos of Lorenzo Lamas from the 1980s.
I agree, Paul. I agree. Justin, how the hell are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. Like I just said, man, I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk and I'm looking at shirtless pictures of Lorenzo Lamas. So, I mean,
why?
I'm going to send you one in a minute. I think you'll enjoy it quite a bit.
Don't send me.
No. I mean, the hair on the chest of this guy is just, oh, man, it's like a large mane. Like, you don't see a mane on a guy like this anymore. Whatever happened to hairy chests on guys? I mean, man, leading men back in the day, you had to have a super hairy chest to be one. Now, like, everyone's Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans. You see all these dudes with their shirts off. Cavill's, like, the only one, I think, where, like, when he takes your shirt off as Superman, there's, like, actual hair on his chest.
I think they probably tried to wax him at one point, but the hair just grew back in immediately, and they just gave
well,
up
how
after
do you,
that. They were like,
all right, how do you wax Superman's chest, though? Like, what do you use to wax
Watch
Superman's
out for Godzilla!
Chest? Oh yeah, there it is.
Watch out for Godzilla. I don't know how do you wax Superman's. But I don't know, kryptonite laced wax.
I
think everything is kryptonite something, whatever.
Now I'm just wanting to see a wax shaving scene or a chest waxing scene. Like the 40-year-old virgin just with Superman, Henry Cavill's Superman instead of Steve Carell. I think that would be great.
We can distill this down to Loy Sauce just wants to see more shirtless Cavill. I think we could safely get it to that point.
I wouldn't complain about it, but
I don't think I would either. I mean, literally, like,
most of
what you see in Justice League is just like Henry Cavill, just like without a shirt, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Well, the amount of time these guys train for these movies, they train hardcore, dude. Like, you know,
that's what,
like,
I've always loved about Cavill. I love that the most about him. Like, he wants to attain that physique himself to really more perfectly embody the Superman character, at least the look. Don't haters shut up. I hear you now barking. Rah, 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 he was depressed all the time. Rah, rah, rah. Go fuck yourselves. But the look he wanted to
embody. I mean,
embody,
they're not wrong.
But quiet, boy. Okay. He wanted to embody that look so much that like he literally went out there and trained his ass off to do it. And it's great. It really, really is. But we're not here to talk about shirtless Henry Cavill, Loisas. I'm sorry.
Even though, you know, Justice League does come out on home video this week. Now, oh, Nick, for an early birthday gift, I was wondering if that's what you want me to send to you is the Ultra 4K. I'll even let you keep the digital code for yourself if you want.
And then your birthday, I'm going to send you a video of me burning it.
Oh, what is the world coming to? Is anyone even going to buy it? You think anyone's even going to buy this movie? We'll see next week.
I'm sure they will.
Somebody will buy it next week
on the show. I'll look it up and see where it is in the home video stats and see, you know, how well it's doing. Just for interest's sake. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I know. We'll buy it. I said I might. Buy it. Loisas wants a copy.
I do not. If anyone sends me a copy, I will politely send it back to them.
But here's a question, though. What if I did buy the Ultra 4K HD Blu-ray that I would watch on my beautiful 4K television?
How
if I invited you over? Yeah, Paul, me and you were in that group together, man. Yeah, that's our thing. Would you watch it, Lois House, if I bought it, I had the setup, and I invited you over, had beers, even had some popcorn for you?
Well, if you had beers and popcorn, then
Russell Stover dinners.
Yeah, the Russell Stover dinner.
You mean the Stofers dinner?
No, dude. There's a Russell Stover mac and cheese dinner. And I would get you that.
Then yes, I probably would. Although I don't think the film would benefit from 4K Ultra HD because the movie looks like crap.
Yeah, man. I think you'd want to go buy yourself like an old CRT television. You know, you have to have a team of five people carry it up to your apartment because it's so goddamn heavy. And then, you know, transfer the cut over to a VHS tape and then maybe play it on the VHS. And, you know, you'll probably be like, man, these effects are good.
They hold up.
Imagine that, though. Think about that. In reality, you're probably right, Nick. Think if you take a movie like Justice League or an effects-driven big, you know, like even a Michael Bay Transformers film, and you lowered the resolution, you put it on a VHS, it would probably make it look better. It probably would benefit it because you wouldn't be able to see all the detail and everything. So it would probably look, oh my God, look at those effects. It looks so real. When Aquaman's sliding down the building and he looks like a fucking cartoon character, you would actually think that it looks real. But
everything in that film looks like it's a fucking cartoon character, especially, you know, it's Affleck. Weird. My favorite parts of that movie are still the close-up shots that they clearly did in reshoots of Affleck in the Batsuit, and he's just so gigantic that like his whole head and the cowl is all that's in the frame. Because I think they were like, we can't possibly, like, they just have a tarp on him that's just colored like the bat suit.
Well, dude, they retouched his face. Like, that much is apparent. When you looked in trailers, like, to make him look younger, they slimmed his face digitally. And I'm like, dude, you're going to slim his double chin off? Really? He was drinking that heavily during the movie because he knew he just wanted to be out of it. It's weird because, you know, there's, like, little to no news lately on anything DC related, and I think they're taking a step back, and rightfully so that way people aren't, I mean, get them out of the limelight for a little while, let Marvel have their day with Black Panther, and, of course, with
Infinity Wars, what, like Infinity 2 Wars,
so, yeah, no, so, I mean,
month and a half.
Yeah, oh my God. Holy shit, like 6 weeks. I'm flying. But we'll see what happens from there. But I'm kind of glad. I'm ready for a rest from it all. Give it some time to breathe. And I don't know, Nick, I'm going to ask you a question here on the air because this is uncut and you can't cut it. Loisas and I were wondering, so since you saw Black Panther and you liked it a lot, does that mean you're automatically going to go in and watch Infinity War?
Fist yourself!
Ooh, is that a no?
I'll be honest. I probably will. At this point, just because the quality turned, number one. Okay, let me put that out there. It's a Russo film, and the Russos, they have put out bar none my favorite MCU products, with Civil War, with Winter Soldier, and then, you know, I hope that it's good. What I'm afraid of and what worries me is that even though Thanos is supposed to be like this big bad that they've been leading up to for 10 years, is I'm still afraid that they're going to have so many hero characters just crowding out for screen time that Thanos is still going to get put on the back burner, even though it really kind of, he should be the central figure in the film. Really? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how it's really going to play out, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure I'll check it out. Like I said, it's just because it's the Russos. And like I said, Black Panther was so good that I at least have the littlest bit of faith in Marvel,
man,
that they'll pull it off.
Lysos, can you believe this? Are we talking to the same dude here?
I mean, it's shocking and surprising, but actually, Black Panther was so good. I don't think that. I mean, I would be surprised. I would be more surprised if Nick bashed
but
it.
But do you remember honestly what you said to me when I texted you while we were recording our Black Panther review? Because Nick didn't post anything to say how he thought about the film prior to us recording. I texted you and said Nick pretty much loved it, and you thought I was bullshitting you.
I mean, yeah, the initial disbelief was there for sure, but then I thought about it and I'm like, well, a movie is only as good as its villain, as Nick has said in the past, and the villain in Black Panther is great. So
just past 1 billion, baby. 1 billion at the box office.
That's incredible,
man. It's amazing.
It just surpassed The Dark Knight in box office.
Think about the journey. Think about the journey. Like, not even for Black Panther to attain that level of box office, which is incredible, but also our own journey here on the Epic Film Guys podcast, Justin, where in like our first 6 months, especially, all we ever did was trash Marvel. We loved our Man of Steel. We both really enjoyed Batman versus Superman, me more than you. But then things took a turn somewhere when this really dank, nasty little shit pile of a film came out in August of 2016 called Suicide Squad and heralded the beginning of the end, you might say. As much as you enjoyed Wonder Woman, and I was okay with it for the most part-ish, I think that film would be remembered for its cultural impact more so than it being a good film, because I don't think it is necessarily. But now,
I disagree.
Here, quiet. Almost 3 years into the podcast now, we just spent the intro of the show bashing the shit out of the DCEU and loving up on Marvel. What a journey, man. What a journey. That's where film can take you.
But just to be fair, though, just wait. If Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 comes out, we know for a fact that you'll be back on the bashing train. So there's no way they're magically going to turn that one around for you. But
man, if they just give us all jokes. Stallone all the time.
If you're going to have Stallone in those movies, he better have a big fucking role in Volume 3. I'll tell you that right now. Do not cast Sylvester Stallone, the icon, the legend, one of the most important figures of our time. That's right. I'm saying it again. And then make him be like a subpar minor character that has like three lines. What are you doing, dude? It's Rocky fucking Balboa, man.
That's Cobra guy.
Marion Cobretti. Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's what I'm saying, but
Like I said, it's an interesting journey that we've been on. Of course, I'm still hard on Marvel films, you know, probably harder than most, because, well, I mean, but then again, like most people that I've talked to that came out of Black Panther and loved it even more than we did, still came out of it and were like, yeah, that final battle though.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like, you know, I think it's only as bad as it is because the rest of the film that preceded it was as good as it was, that it's glaringly bad by comparison. I mean, it's not really all that bad. It's not really like terrible or anything, but it's a whimper.
I think, Loisos, you had mentioned to me when you had seen the film, you were like, because you didn't want to tell me when you had seen it, like to spoil anything for me. You're like, the end battle's not going to age well. And when I watched it, I immediately thought of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies. Now, again, not bashing those. I think even on the Ultra 4K HD format, I think they look fine. But, I mean, it does look like a CG cartoon Spider-Man, you know, web-slinging through New York City. There's no way around it. And I think that Black Panther, in that respect, will age even worse. I think even watching it, you know, with Dolby Vision, I think it immediately aged itself because it just didn't look good. But You got it. You know, you got to take your positives and your negatives, and that was one of the negatives, and everything else was great. So it didn't really matter that much.
Very, very true. But why don't we, gentlemen, if I could not flub my words, this is uncut, Nick. Come on, you got to get in the fucking
segway,
game here.
Segway.
Get in the game
Hashtag segway.
It's time, gentlemen, for a time-honored tradition here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. Justin, Sauce, I got to know, what are you drinking?
I'm back. Puke and rally.
Why don't we pitch it over to the sauce? A1 Loy Steak Sauce. Loy Choss.
Loy Choss.
Well, I'm actually drinking a bottle of A1 Steak Sauce right now.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's
I'm just perfect. Kidding. I don't have a beer tonight because I have been lazy and haven't gone out to get groceries or beer. So, right now I am drinking my favorite soda beverage, which is Cheerwine. And Cheerwine is not available to buy everywhere, but in some places in Virginia, you can find it at your local grocery store. And I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the show before.
I have no idea what it even is.
No,
it is the nectar of the gods. It's not wine.
It makes sense that you'd be drinking it then if it's the nectar of the god of podcasting.
The god of podcasting. Yeah. Exactly.
Man.
It's basically Cherry Coke without the Coke.
Cherry Coke. Okay.
Yeah. So it's delicious. Mm. If you can find it. It's a Southern thing. I don't know. Not, you can't find it everywhere, but at any rate.
All right. Well,
and Nick, to change this up, you're not going to throw it to me.
I wanted to.
No, this is this unscripted, this uncut shit. No, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you got going down your goal today?
Oof. Man.
That was incredibly obnoxious.
That was, that's one word for it. Well, Justin, I'm a relatively decent fan of this series of beers, but this one is a little bit more on the underwhelming side. I'm drinking New Belgium's Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze IPA. This is their swing and miss at the New England IPA style.
Oh.
And this is what I find with a lot of these larger breweries that try to do this New England style. I still feel like it's too filtered, or I feel like they focus so much on the back end of it, the dry hopping aspect of it to get the aromatics, that they really forget to kind of make a beer that tastes good at the same time. So you get this beer that smells great that's kind of like, eh. And this guy, get my nose right in there, fantastic hop aroma, a lot of kind of piney and earthier notes. But then you drink it, and it's fine, but that's all it is. It's like anything that you've ever given me from Aslan, or like even the stuff that P-Well brought down from Treehouse or Trillium or whatever, just it blows the doors off of this stuff. Like, this stuff doesn't even come close, and it's kind of sad that it's as underwhelming as it is, really.
No, I got to tell you, man, I have to just to piggyback off what you were saying about the larger breweries. Trying their hand at New England style, almost every single one that I've had has been subpar.
They're not up to snuff, man.
Or decent, which is weird because you're totally right, man. I find the aromatics are great. Like you open the can, or if it's on draft, you get it and you smell it. It smells great. And then when you sip it, you're like, it's fine. But like the way that I look at it is like even, you know, the weakest beer I've had at like Trillium or Treehouse or Vale or Aslan, you know, is still way better than this. And
I wonder if it's just a loss of like the craftsmanship of it. Like when you're going for that quantity over quality kind of thing, you know, when you're not just producing it for a limited release in like your brewery's footprint, but when you're trying to mass market it, I wonder if that's what it is. Like if it, like, you know, I mean, it's hazy, which is a kind of a gift because most like bigger brand New England IPAs that you get aren't hazy at all.
Yeah, no, so definitely like, not, dude.
Whatever. But anyway, to kick it over to you, Justin, what do you got guzzling down your gullet this evening?
Okay. Jesus. I don't know what's going on tonight.
Fucked with a shoehorn.
No idea. But that's an actually interesting image, but I wouldn't want the monkey to get hurt unless he really was enjoying himself. So what else would I be drinking on the subject of New England IPAs other than a New England IPA? Ooh. And this one I've never had before. And I'm about to sip it for the first time on the show. And I'm going to experience it firsthand with you guys.
Here we go. Roll it out. Here we go.
Okay, so this is the Step Dad Imperial Double IPA from the Vale Brewing Company. This is their double dry hop version of their Stepdad Chaperone, exclusively with 100% Mosaic hops. I might have to let me taste this again. This is very interesting, man. When you smell this thing, the notes are I definitely get right off the top peach, like a papaya, even a melon there. It's juicy. I would say probably like a subtle dankness to it, but man, the aroma on this thing is fantastic. I'd actually rather smell it than drink it, but it's delicious, man. It's 8.5% alcohol by volume. And of course, no information on the IBUs, but one of the more different beers that I've had from Vale. I keep trying to make my way down here to Richmond. The wife and I, Nick, actually went down to Fredericksburg to hang out with the photographer that did our photos, our family photo shoot that we did about a month or two ago in D.C. Nice. Really cool chick. She's actually from California. And so I tried out some local breweries in Fredericksburg. They're pretty decent, but the whole time I'm like, babe, we're like 45 minutes from Vale. It's only 45 minutes, please. And she's like, no, you've had enough beer for the day. So, of course, I did not get to go to Vale, but I've got a beer right here from Vale. Thanks to my buddy Spencer. He is the Mac Daddy of beer. So thanks, Spencer. It's a pretty good beer. I dig it. You should drink it.
Booyah. Before we roll out on what are you drinking, just in the home brewing front, the Belgian, I don't think the bottles are going to carbonate. I had another one tonight. I've been trying one like every week when we record the show, and I just don't think the bottles are going to carbonate, but I did have a half growler of it, like, I don't know, like a week and a half ago or so, and it was lightly carbonated. Now, it's a Belgian, and it's a Belgian strong, so you really don't want a heavy carbonation. You just want a subtle one in there. So I think the growlers are going to be okay, but you might be getting six flat bottles of Belgian.
That's fine,
when you
dude.
Get it. But you know what?
Legit.
It tastes so good, you won't care, I promise. And I just moved dumpster juice into secondary fermentation today, gave it its second round of dry hopping. As soon as I popped open my fermenter, Justin, ooh, the blast of aromatics that you get off of that bad boy is insane. Oh, it smells like heaven. Oh, it smells so good. And I tasted it. It does taste pretty good, but it's still got a couple of weeks of conditioning left to go with that second round of dry hopping. So we'll really see what it turns into after that. I've still got to make that heady clone, which I got the rest of my ingredients for. And I've still got to make that milk chocolate stout, which I'm super excited to brew as well. But that's for another time on the show. Justin, we've got a ton of stuff to go over on the show tonight. We've got iTunes reviews.
Yeah, Loy Sauce has got stuff in store for us too, man.
I can't wait.
You saw a bunch of movies, man. You saw like every movie in theaters this past weekend, didn't you, Loy Sauce?
Well, not every movie in theaters, but I did pull a triple feature, just one right after the other, the other day. So
you watched the brand new Death Wish movie three times in a row.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I loved it so much that I bought another ticket and then I watched it again. And then I noticed more nuances the second time around. So I figure why not see it a third time? So that's what I did. That's exactly what I did. I just went back and got another ticket, one right after the other.
Yeah, so when we get back here, Loy Sauce is going to tell us about the Eli Roth Death Wish remake starring Bruce Willis. We're going to talk Thoroughbreds, which came out last week in limited release, and A Wrinkle in Time. Yeah, that's right. Loy Sauce saw that as well. So we'll be doing a little bit of that movie review thing that we like to do on the show when we come right back.
This week in epic film history.
We've got Gillison down here, Gullet, this evening!
He definitely beat Dan.
He beat Dan. Dan, you've got a usurper to your throne. He's still fucking going.
Yeah!
I think he
Boom!
Won.
Nailed it!
He absolutely won. The man's wow.
On. Right, well, I'll give you my very succinct feelings about the film. This is a reprehensible piece of shit.
Eat my balls.
I was actually angry sitting through this for the second time.
Angry,
I remember.
I am glad that you actually watched it for the podcast again. So thank you.
I did. I thought, all right, well, maybe I didn't like it the first time around. I was like, oh, what a boring film. But watching it through
did you see
it
in the cinema? Did you see it in the cinema?
I did. Awesome. I did, sadly. Yep. And this is the first time for this podcast I rewatched it again, and I was angry. I was like, this is just, how can this film be so long? How does Superman not punch anyone at any point? Why is there no fight scenes? Is this a superhero movie? He does nothing but lift things over his head that are progressively bigger and heavier.
Hey, look how cool this nigga Tommy is, though. This nigga game is so cold. Look, boom. Bam. Throw the little small boot on the counter. Boom. Pop the hat. What's up? Me gonna smoke the seed. Bop. Roll it in one hand. Flip it.
Me gonna smoke
leave it over.
Seed.
Let the mouse lick it.
Come here, bitch.
Come here, bitch.
Come say hello, Goji. Come here, girl.
Boom. Throw it in the air. Pop it with the fire. Bam!
Bam!
One pull, nigga. That motherfucker gone.
That motherfucker
done with
gone.
It.
Done with it.
What's that? Howdy, bitch.
I always wondered how big Morgan Freeman's cock was. He's like, you know, the only main black actor in the film. And I know that they're like usually pretty hung. So I was thinking about that. And true. I like it a little bit wrinkled and old and weathered, you know, kind of like he's been around the block a lot.
You like your shit broken in.
Should I base my rating off that? I don't even know.
Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. Fucking asshole.
I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, what does Morgan Freeman's cock rate?
You guys.
10
I'm
out
sorry.
10. It's golden
it's stronger.
10 out of 10.
Here for a perspective now on Black Cocks in America is Brentley Oliver. Brentley?
Hey, you think your life is hard? The last time I had a piece of ass, I was fucking an old rotten ham that they threw out back of an Aldi supermarket.
Aldi's? I never even heard of that. I only hang out with the inner city guys.
Oh,
I don't even
God.
Know what you're speaking of.
For a person who's never seen any of the first four Superman movies, I went into this expecting, you know, I had nothing to go off on, so this was
he
like
he keeps
my
moving his head further and further away from the microphone as he talks, and he's so soft-spoken that you guys are going to think he's like whispering sweet nothings to me.
No, it's all right, man. It's not a dick. You don't have to be scared of it. You don't have to be scared of it. It's not a dick, I'm telling you.
I thought he was whispering like sweet nothings to Wayne.
Wayne. I'm into it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
This
no, it's not time for the second EFG history clip yet. Uncut, baby. Uncut. But yeah, welcome back to the Epic Film Guys podcast. We're thrilled to be here. I'm not going to say much of anything else for like the rest of this entire segment because I didn't watch shit. I was so busy. I worked like 82 hours, I think, last week. Plus my commutes back and forth, it rounds off to like a nice even 90. So I didn't have a goddamn spare minute to watch anything. So we're going to kick it over. Ladies and gentlemen, can we get a moment of silence? Just everybody quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Everybody get quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, the god of podcasting.
Hey, sorry. So the audio is still dipping, so I heard very little of that.
it's your
turn. It sounded like a great intro. Thank you, Nick. See, now that's perfect. I don't know what changed, but at any rate,
I think it's the soundboard whenever I play sounds on it.
Perfect. That was my version of a Catwoman. How was it?
Terrible.
Wow. Man.
I'm
going to
cry
Justin.
Now. God damn it.
You don't hold a candle to Michelle Pfeiffer or Halle Berry.
What? How
what?
Dare you?
Now you got Soups upset. Jesus.
Sorry, Superman.
But yeah, Loy Sauce, as Justin said, as we were wrapping up the last segment, you had the opportunity to see three films. I'm going to just let you guys do your thing because I didn't see shit, like I said.
All right. All right. You know what? Let's start with the film we both saw together. If you don't mind.
Cool.
We got a chance to see Thoroughbreds, which is a black comedy written and directed by Corey Finley in his directorial debut. That's right. This is his first movie that he ever wrote and ever directed. And it stars Olivia Cooke and Anya Taylor-Joy, as well as my boy, Anton Yelchin, in his final role. I got to tell you, Brian, right off the bat, knowing that going in, I was almost in tears the first time he came on screen, man. It was really tough for me knowing it was his last role, but we'll get to that when we start talking about performances. But this is about some upper class girls in suburban Connecticut. One of them is a nutcase, flat out. Like, she's insane. The movie opens when she kills her crippled horse with a knife by stabbing it brutally. We don't get to see that, but it is implied. We get the idea.
We hear it in detail.
Yeah, that this chick is nuts. So her mom pays her neighbor, Lily, who used to be friends with Amanda, to tutor her and basically like kind of shove a friend in her way. As they start to become connected again and they spend a lot of time together, the idea comes up that, well, Lily just wants her stepdad killed. She wants this rich asshole offed because she can't stand him. And Amanda helps her in that scheme along with Anton Yelchin's Tim to see if they can make that happen. I thought the trailers for this looked fantastic. And obviously all the taglines, you know, Heathers meets American Psycho. If you liked Heathers, you're going to love this thing. And I can't lie. I love Anya Taylor-Joy so, so much. She's so adorable. And so talented.
You were salivating throughout a lot of it. Well, panting like a little dog.
I can't help it. Hey, they know what they have on their hands here, okay? I'm a 34-year-old man, and they know what they got on their hands. But let's throw it to you for your first initial thoughts on the film after you left the theater.
Well, I liked Thoroughbreds. It had a lot of potential to be great. And I think what held the film back was the fact that not a whole lot happens. The second act really sags, and you're just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting for the plot to get going. It's kind of frustratingly inert. It just kind of lays there. There are great moments scattered throughout, a lot of laughs. Well, I wouldn't say a lot of laughs. I laughed a few times. I wish I laughed more. For a black comedy like this, You want to be laughing. You want the laughs to carry you through. But there's a lot of quippy banter back and forth. Great performances by the entire cast. I think what the film was really missing was an escalation of a rise and fall of events. Because the idea comes about to kill the stepdad. But I didn't feel that the film offered a good enough reason for them to have gotten to that point where they decide to perform
murder. I 100% agree with you. Yeah.
Well, because one of the girls is clearly crazy. And she kind of just plants the idea in the other girl's head, into Anya Taylor-Joy's head. And then Anya Taylor-Joy just kind of decides to go with it. But I never really felt like we were on their side when it came to killing the stepfather. He's a pompous jerk, you know.
He's a rich asshole.
When he first appears, he's very creepy and very kind of he's a looming presence in Anya Taylor-Joy's character's life. But he, you know, does he deserve to be killed? I don't really think so.
No.
And perhaps that was the movie's point. I understand that to a certain extent, that this is a satire after all. So we're dealing with heightened reality and we are dealing with something that we want to get some kind of satire and black comedy out of. But I felt that in order for the movie to work, you needed to have that catalyst, that moment.
I needed that one event. Yeah, I needed something really to push through to be you know, give me enough reason to be like, okay, I wouldn't mind seeing this asshole get offed. Because anyone that knows me, including you, the two of you, know that I love seeing awesome kills. I love seeing on-screen deaths. It's one of my favorite things ever to watch in a movie. but in this in the case, like, I this guy, you know, I am a step-parent, and I know the issues we go through. I know the struggles you deal with. And in this case, this guy was not really that bad. He had his rules. He had this huge mansion they were living in. Obviously, this girl was getting paid money. Nice car to drive. Not that all that stuff matters. That is all material, and they do prove a point about that in the film.
Boarding school.
They are, for no good reason, though. But I mean, at the same time, her mom's also part of that. Why not kill her as well? The stepdad as a character in his, himself was not enough for me to say, I want to see him dead. Sure, yeah, I'll watch him get killed because that's what the movie's all about, but it wasn't enough for me personally. But I'm going to jump right into my favorite part of the film. He's criminally underused, and this is not because he died before the end of filming. He was still alive when they finished. Anton Yelchin, oh my God, dude, seriously. I was upset when I watched him, my second time watching Green Room when I got it on Blu-ray. I was upset watching him when I watched, you know, the last Star Trek film.
Beyond, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that because they gave him a bigger role. But in this, he really, really shines. He's really putting in a good performance. He plays a drug dealer, this kind of scumbag, local white trash dude who, you know, he works at a nursing home washing dishes. He goes to, there's a scene where he's at a, like a teen party, a high school party, and he's, you know, he's late 20s. He's a pedophile as well. He's a convicted sex offender, and he plays it so perfectly. As soon as he's on screen, you just automatically gravitate towards him. And knowing,
and isn't it sad that a drug dealer rapist is the most sympathetic character in the entire movie?
It truly is.
The most likable character in the movie is a child rapist.
They get him tangled into this whole plot kind of accidentally, and I won't spoil anything because we're not going to go deep in spoiler territory. To be fair, no one's even seeing this film outside of people in larger territories because it is limited. But I think he was just so underused. I mean, there wasn't really a point of having an actor of the caliber of Anton Yelchin in that role, though I love him so much in the role. It just upsets me. I think it's just a personal thing, Brian, that I'm upset because it showed how much potential he had. His last few performances really showed that he was really starting to become in his own as an actor. And it upsets me because I'm like, well, this is the last thing we're getting from him. And it's a really sad thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, because when you watch someone of Anton Yelchin's caliber in a role that is sidelined a lot of the time, it is frustrating. It is sad. You do want to see, because he's so great in this. In his limited screen time, he's so so magnetic, and I don't know. He kind of broke my heart a little bit, and again, that's a tribute to him and how good he is when he can make that kind of despicable character sympathetic and someone who you really gravitate towards in the plot. But all the performances around the board are just great.
Move on to the two main girls. We focus a lot of our time with them. We're spending a lot of time with them. And I like the fact that the way this film was shot, Brian, the way that, you know,
gorgeously,
it's gorgeous, but we feel like we're hanging out with them. The characters of Lily and Amanda, they spend a lot of time sitting on the couch, sitting out back playing.
Too much time, in my opinion.
A little too much time. But I mean, you kind of have to sit down and relax and understand that we're going to be hanging out with two teenage girls in this movie. And I think that they carry the film really well for knowing that that is one of the major flaws in it. Olivia Cooke, and I love her so much from Bates Motel. I thought she was stellar in that. And she's also in the upcoming Ready Player One that we talked about earlier on in the show.
Well, and you haven't seen Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, but she's incredible in that as well.
Exactly. So she's an up-and-comer, and she was amazing in this movie. There it is. Nicky kicks in because he loves that movie. But no, she plays this sociopath. She's crazy. She's literally someone everyone is talking about and they're scared of. And she plays it so straight faced. I would love to see a more serious, like, you know, I felt like she could be a Norman Bates type character in Psycho, and she played it kind of that way, except for she's not likable. She shows no emotion, so she can't really trick you other than whenever she puts that little effort forward when I'm going to pretend smile. And there's a scene when she first walks into the mansion in the beginning of the film, Brian, I thought was totally charming and gives you a great look into who this character is. When she does the fake smile, she looks to her right, she sees a mirror, and she's all alone in the room. She does this fake smile, and then she goes right back to her normal resting bitch face. And I was like, perfect.
Yeah, there's a scene where she basically fakes crying, and she seamlessly goes from one emotion to the next, because then she instantly like turns and just complete deadpan, dead eyes. She wipes the tears from her face. It's incredible.
That was all
to watch.
Done in one shot too. All one
yeah,
shot.
It was,
yeah,
it was extremely impressive from that actress. Olivia Cooke is great, and I can't wait to see what she does next, because she was great in this film. And then of course Anya Taylor-Joy, who we both love. But she was great in The Witch, and she's brilliant here.
Dude, she's been great in everything I've watched her, man. She was amazing in Split as well. She's a great up-and-coming actress, and I think that the great balance between these two girls, they really played perfectly off of each other. I could not ask for better performances. I think the flaws mainly rely in the writing of these characters. I mean, even though the dialogue is great, I just think the actions of the characters... that's where it gets stifled a little bit, because
motivation was
hazy.
Yeah,
exactly. You want something to happen. And like you said earlier on, I just wanted that one forward thrust to push it forward to go, okay, this is the reason why this is going to happen. Let's get some action in this. Not action in the sense of an action scene, but something to push things through and gain some momentum. And the film just kind of starts on a slow note and it ends that way. Like nothing really happens in between. It's just a vignette of scenes that happen that are well shot, well acted, you know, music's great, all of that, but nothing happens really. And I get that it's that kind of movie, but I think it needed something else there.
I agree. For a first time writer director, I mean, especially the direction of this movie is pitch perfect. I feel like as a first time director, this is an impressive technical feat. Absolutely. And in terms of performances, like I said, I just feel like the script could have used another polish. And I feel like in no way is this on the same level as American Psycho or Heathers, as the poster outside the theater had the pull quotes that said it's American Psycho meets Heathers, and nowhere near on the level of those two films. But it's worth checking out, I think, because of all of the merits, as I said. This movie does have merit, and I feel like if you're a fan of Anton Yelchin, you kind of owe it to yourself to see his final performance on screen. He's great.
Yeah, definitely. And if there's any reason to see it, it's for the performances. It's got great atmosphere, and let's just say the lead up to the ending, while kind of lackluster and slow, the ending is really good. I enjoyed that part of it a lot. And I mean, you don't get many films like this released in cinemas. You don't get many films like this in general. I mean, hey, the central plot is about two teenage girls, and one of them decides, hey, I want to kill my stepdad, so help me do it. And they end up, well, possibly doing it. You'll have to see the film to find out. So for me, let's get to ratings right now, Brian. I'm going to throw it to you for your rating for Thoroughbreds.
Do I have to?
Yes, this is the Epic Film Guys podcast, and that's what we do on the show. So, yeah, hey, man, we got to give a rating.
I'll give Thoroughbreds a 6.5.
We don't do points on this show, damn it. You know that. We don't do halves.
I don't care. That's my rating, because I can't give it a 7, and I think it's better than a 6.
Here's Sauce is breaking the rules. Yes, he did. That's right. He is right now, too. The sausage, everything, you're getting it. You don't break the rules here.
It's my show. I can do what I want.
Check. It's my party. I can die if I want to. Na, 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 na. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Nick will whip you as soon as he sees you the next time. He's going to pull out a bull whip, a cattail whip, and whip you until you're in pure agony over
How
this.
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm going to go a little bit lower because I don't give 0.5s on the damn show. I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. I would say it's an okay film. I think, as you said, major credit to the director, first-time screenwriter, Corey Finley. He did a fantastic job considering it's his first film. I mean, I see films, directors, it's on their fourth or fifth or sixth film. They don't even get a movie nearly this good. My main thing I was thinking after seeing this is I couldn't think in my head, like, what would this film have been if this was his third, fourth, or fifth film? How good would it have been? It's just a question that I ask myself. So definitely check it out if it's your kind of film. It's a black comedy featuring some great young actresses and the late Anton Yelchin. So, Nick.
No.
How are you? How are you? How are you?
Fine. Super.
Oh, I was just picking my nose, dude. Sorry.
Yo. Come on, man. Uncut. You can't be dropping those kind of beats.
Well, I thought the whole point of being uncut is I could be as disgusting and as unprofessional as I wanted to. I thought you wanted this to be the most slimy, grimy, disgusting version of the epic film Kais we could be. I mean, I'm just going to invite the Hopester over from now on. He could just be a normal part of the show. He can come in whenever he wants. He can review whatever he wants. And
hooray.
Okay. I guess we're not all on board of that idea, but
watch out for Godzilla!
Godzilla's coming.
He is coming, and man, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and finish out the show. And Lois also talk about Death Wish.
Ooh, baby.
This week in epic film history.
I love talking to you guys about film, and absolutely 100%. It was a pleasure to have you guys on the show.
And it certainly was. Yeah. I love hearing, honestly, I can't wait to smoke a big fat pipe of some dank weed with Wayne. When you get to New York, I'm going to save the most dank weed I can get from Washington.
All right, let's look it up.
It's going to happen, bro. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the Epic Film Guys podcast. Actually, I wish you would talk more, and I wish that one of you would tell Nick to shut the fuck up and talk over him, because I try to, but like, he thinks he's more masculine than me, but in reality my pee-pee is way larger and it hangs to the floor way longer than he'd ever expect it would.
I will challenge that.
Wait, did Bradley just say something? Isn't your PB like a black one?
Yes.
How long?
It got charred in a fire years back.
Is it long and wide, or is it just long? Oh, or is it just long. Wide?
It's long. It's long.
Is it like hair in my biscuit 10 foot long?
Oh my god.
10 feet? That's kind of short, isn't it?
Damn.
I would hope it at least be 10 inches, or else you'd be like urban legend shit, motherfucker.
Hey, some of us are part Asian and have a small penis. Shut up, all
you. Let me tell you something about me that not a lot of people know. I used to be gay. I mean, I'm still gay, but I used to be really gay. Like, suck so many dicks I wouldn't get anything done gay.
But, you know, Batman. Was that my sound check? Because I assumed it was.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. I figured I would.
We're
just
heroes now. We save lives now. Past can't change that. I mean, you used to sell swords and me
you
with
my excessive
dick sucking.
I swear to God, if you play that again, I'm going to smash
fuck
this.
Fuck you, Pike. You're a fucking piece of shit.
I told Emily.
Have you ever wanted to jump through the internet and just murder somebody with your bare
hands? Yeah, it's Nick. It was the last time we recorded. I told Emily. She's like, you hate the... I don't hate the mixer. I hate Nick's use of the mixer.
No, you hate the soundboard.
Hashtag like, proper
not
use.
The mixer. The mixer allows us to live stream, which I love.
I saw this movie on opening night at Regal Cinemas.
As did
and
I.
Because of the 2006 flood, I couldn't go home for 2 days afterward.
Oh my god.
I was trapped in Binghamton because I came to see Superman Returns opening night. So thank you, Bryan Singer, for that.
Wait, Nick, can I just clarify? Are you telling me that you were stuck watching this film for 2 days straight? Holy fucking shit.
I hope not. That is torturous.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, once again. And we're getting ready to wrap out on the show. But before we do, the Sauce, the god of podcasting himself, got the opportunity to see one more film. And it just so happens to be a remake of a film that we gave away a code for, the brand new digital steelbook, whatever the fuck it was. I don't even care. Death Wish with Charles Bronson, the original. We gave that away over in the patron only section because only patrons had actually entered the thing. So we give away codes all the time. You guys are more than welcome. Anytime you want, jump in, win free movies, win free digital codes. It's as simple as that. But before we go any further, gentlemen, it's time for the Sauce to talk about Death Wish. Eli Roth's Death Wish remake, starring...
You have a beautiful mother.
Bruce Willis. I'm scared.
Check. Check. Sound check. I'm sorry. I can't hear anything. I'm sorry. Can you... Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. I think it's maybe something with the music and a combination of something. I don't know. But yes, Death Wish.
Okay. Can I talk about Death Wish now?
No. Do it. Talk about it. Yes.
Okay.
Stop ganging up on me.
You're not my fucking mother. If I were to play any character in The Room, if there were like a stage production of The Room, I would probably play Denny. I relate to Denny on multiple levels, but I won't get into that now. Anyway, so actually, before I start, let me ask what you guys, what do you think I thought about Death Wish, the remake?
You know, I really don't know. The original Death Wish, as you know, as both of you know, and if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know it's one of my favorite films ever. Charles Bronson is my number one favorite action star of all time.
Justin refuses to watch this remake. Refuses, yeah. Because of his love for the original. So,
and yeah. I'm very... That's the first time I've been that way about something, because I'm an open guy. Like, that's something that I strive to be on the Epic Film Guys podcast, and in you know, and outside of it, in real life, like, I'll try anything to eat, or I'll listen to a certain kind of music. Like, I like want to be an open person. I've always been that way. I'll give anything a chance, you know, based on, well, certain parameters, whatever. But in this case, it's directed by a shitbag hack, Eli Roth. No offense, man. I mean, he's made a couple movies that I really like, but after that, whatever. He's not a great director. And I would have been cool with him directing if he had cast someone in the role that made sense to either the book or that would have fit in line with how I view the character. Yes, I'm being very kind of ignorant to it, but it's a character that I see very special, and it needs to be done right. Bruce Willis is a washed up fucking actor. All right, dude, he's picking projects based on how much he can make off of them. When you look at Redbox, every 6 months there's three or four more Bruce Willis action features in there that no one gives a shit about, that did not hit theaters because he doesn't care anymore. He's just not the right person for the role. So for me, I'm 100% against seeing it. I don't know what you thought of it, Brian. I have no idea. You've not told me yet.
I'm scared.
Well, is it any surprise that this movie sucks my balls?
Oh, really?
Was there ever any doubt that this movie was... Was there ever any doubt that this movie was going to be a gigantic failure on just about every level?
God damn!
I mean, let's be honest here. So, okay.
Oh,
so
God.
This film is, of course, a remake of the classic, the original Vigilante picture, starring Charles Bronson, the immortal Charles Bronson. And I think what is this movie's major downfall is the fact that Eli Roth doesn't understand tone. And this going all the way back to Cabin Fever, is this a disturbing horror film or is it a goofy derp-to-derp comedy? And this Death Wish remake seems fundamentally confused. Is this a somber, thoughtful film like the original? Is it a tragedy? Or is it a shoot 'em up, over-the-top cartoon like Death Wish 3? It tries to have it both ways, and especially in today's volatile political climate, you can't have it both ways, because it tries to offer all of these, I guess, these moral dilemmas on vigilantism and whether or not a person can just pick up a gun and go be judge, jury, and executioner in the streets and just shoot people in the streets. And of course, those were themes in the original Death Wish, but in terms of today, especially when we have all of these I guess dilemmas about what to do with guns and whether or not people should be allowed to purchase, assault rifles and things like that. So this remake needed to have a kind of a sensitive, if it needed to exist at all, which it didn't, but it needed to be sensitive about these kinds of things and really attack them in a way that's thoughtful or meaningful. And this movie just doesn't know what to do with itself. Like at some points it tries to be this drama about a man dealing with the death of his family and all of that. And then it turns into like a torture porn film where Paul Kersey, the character played by Bruce Willis, who's a surgeon now. I didn't even talk about the plot of the film, but if you've seen the original Death Wish, it's essentially the same, except it's in Chicago and Paul Kersey is now a surgeon instead of an architect. But there's a scene with him and he's torturing some poor guy by the most gruesome, horrific way possible. And the scene ends in such a ridiculous outburst of gore and just like brains spattering all over the place. And I'm like, this is not a Death Wish film. And I've seen all the Death Wish films and I know that they get goofy, they get silly, and they get violent, but I thought it was ridiculous the way Paul Kersey was like stabbing people with darts and dropping cars on their heads and attacking people with a bowling ball. And I'm just like, this is so over the top ridiculous. This does not feel like Death Wish to me. It's a very run of the mill revenge picture because it really, a lot of time is focused on the mystery of Paul Kersey trying to figure out who the killer is, when that's not really the point of the original Death Wish.
Not at all. He never finds the killers at all. In the first one, he never does. He never seeks them out in that way. He knows it won't happen. Sorry to cut there because I didn't see the movie, but I'm just saying, like, the original movie is not about that at all.
Well, right. And that's the whole reason he takes up the mantle of his vigilantism in the first place in the first film is because he knows that. So he literally takes it out on everyone. Like, he literally, that's his way of enacting justice or achieving justice for his family, you know?
Absolutely. And this movie seems to have a fundamental misunderstanding of that. I mean, it just turns into it's very tonally confused. It does not know what it wants to be, because in so many ways, this is it's a remake of the original. It has the same themes. It has the exact same ending. So much time is spent on details that don't, first of all, don't really serve the story any. And it's just so tone deaf in terms of, there's a scene where Bruce Willis is cleaning his new gun. Cause yes, first of all, he has to learn how to shoot a gun and all of that because he's a surgeon. He's not, you know, he hasn't ever held a gun before. So there's a whole montage of him trying to learn how to shoot a gun and cleaning his gun. And it's all set to Back in Black by AC/DC. And it's like, I just cringe that entire sequence. Cause I'm like, are we expecting, like, does Eli Roth expect us to believe this is badass. Like in the original Death Wish, you really understood the pain and the torment, and Paul Kersey is a broken man because of what happened to his family, and turning to vigilantism is the only thing he knows that he thinks will offer any kind of redemption in his life. And you look at that movie and how somber it was. And then you take a look at this and there's like goofy one-liners, and it feels more like one of the Death Wish sequels. So those two styles really do not mesh at all. And there's this, whole sequence when you know, the criminals break into his house and kill his wife and put his daughter in a coma.
Is there rape though? Is there rape in it? Or
there's no rape. There's no rape in the film.
So they stayed away from that. Okay.
Yeah. But the whole scene is this extended, like 10 minute overlong, like home invasion sequence. And there's this whole thing with like the mother trying to open up the safe to get to get the money, and she's like forgetting the combination, and we see her dial it in, and then it doesn't work, and then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm under duress, and then she does it again, and it doesn't work, and I'm like, why are we focusing so much on this? Just get to the point, get to the catalyst, so that the movie can happen. It just seems like, get to the point, and man, it's just all over the shop. It does not know what kind of movie it wants to be. I think it just has a fundamental misunderstanding of what made the original. It's so stripped down. It's so simple, the story of the original. And like we talked about with Thoroughbreds, there was no moment where we understood the shift, the seismic shift that Paul Kersey has to undergo as a character to resort to being his own, you know, the judge, jury, and executioner. We never really understand how he gets to that point. It's very clear in the original and how conflicted Paul Kersey is. But with this, he just seems too comfortable with gunning people down in the streets and murdering people in the most horrific, like sadistic ways. And Bruce Willis,
yeah,
is a flat line throughout a majority. There are certain parts where he comes alive. There's a part that's so accurate, but there is a part at the end of the movie where he is really emoting, and he has tears, you know, in his eyes. And I'm like, okay, if Bruce Willis was at this level throughout the rest of the movie, we would have had something here. But there's a part at the beginning that I actually laughed out loud, not in a good way, but there's a part where, you know, before all of the misfortune happens with his family, we get a scene of happy home life and his daughter announcing that she just got accepted into college. And Bruce Willis is just sitting there. His daughter's telling, like, freaking out, telling him this great news. And he's like, I'm proud of you, sweetie. And he, you know, he's smiling or whatever, but he's not, he's completely like, underplaying this. And when his daughter leaves, the wife says, like, aren't you happy? And he's like, I'm happy. And her reply is, well, you should really tell your face. And I burst out laughing because I didn't know if that was scripted or if that was like an outtake that they left in, because Bruce Willis shows very little emotion about this, you know, this news in his daughter's life. And it kind of speaks to Bruce Willis's acting ability in recent years, where he clearly does not care. Clearly, when you're watching it, you can just tell that he would rather be anywhere else. And Justin and I discussed this. This movie needed a Jeremy Renner. And I never thought I would be saying that, but after Wind River, we both looked at each other and we were like, he would be perfect in a Death Wish.
Nick, I gotta reboot. Ask you, we both have made fun of Renner a lot. Could you see it though? Could you see Renner instead of Bruce Willis in a Death Wish movie?
I mean, I could see Loisaw starring in this movie before I could really picture Bruce Willis starring in it. I mean, yeah, Renner was great in Wind River, so I definitely don't think it would be
I mean, he wouldn't have to talk much. Outside the realm of
possibility, you know?
Give him a small little Bronson mustache. Yeah, he's got the wrinkled, you know, he's got the rough looking face. Whatever. I'm done with it. Loy Sauce, you've given me enough to know I won't ever give it the time of day. I won't be watching it. But yes, the inevitable rating that we must hear from you for Eli Roth's Death Wish.
Well, the last thing I want to say before I give my rating, and I'm sorry because I've been talking for way too long, but I felt icky watching this film in a way that I have not felt in a long time. While I was watching the film with an audience, I heard a lot of laughter around me. It was some of the more disturbing gun violence and icky torture scenes. Like, Paul Kersey should not be like torturing anyone graphically, sadistically. It just felt completely, it felt like Eli Roth's Hostel. It did not feel like Death Wish to me. It did not have that same spirit. So when I heard people laughing around me, I felt very uncomfortable. This is a film that's being released very closely to the, of course, the Parkland shooting and a lot of disturbing gun violence in our time. And the fact that people were like cheering and laughing at such cruel violence really rubbed me the wrong way. I know that this is supposed to be just like a film, but it's trying to have like statements on guns and vigilantism, and it's like the ultimate like right wing, and regardless of politics, we have to come to a point where you can't just go out and buy an assault rifle or an AR-15, and it just rubs me the wrong way. And guess what saves the day in the end? So, I can't put my finger on exactly why I felt that way during this movie and not, for example, with like John Wick Chapter 2 or the original John Wick. I think what's missing there is that you understand John Wick and how he gets to that level as a character, to where you want to see him take these, you know, MFers down. Whereas in this, it's just like Paul Kersey walks up to a drug dealer on the street and just shoots him in cold blood. And it's graphic and it's horrific and it's just like it's a black guy, so that in itself is troubling. Bruce Willis in a hoodie walking up to a black guy, shooting him straight in the head and just walking away with no remorse. It's so sadistic, and it disturbed me, especially to hear laughter around me. So because this movie is so rotten to the core, I'm gonna give this movie a 2 out of 10.
Whoa! Oh my god, a two?
Yeah, a two because this movie has no soul. It's devoid of any kind of meaning, of merit. It's not horribly made necessarily. I don't think Eli Roth is a terrible director in terms of technical abilities, but he has not directed one single movie where I'm like, wow, that was redeeming. I'm a better person for having watched that. I mean, Death Wish 2 is a scummy movie, but that has a heart. I feel like Death Wish 2 has, I don't know, it's an over-the-top remake of the first one, but it has more of a reason to exist than this movie does. I mean, it's rotten. It's a rotten movie, rotten to the core. 2 out of 10.
Jesus.
I don't think I've ever heard Loy Sauce talk that much about a movie. You're passionate, bro. You must have really hated that fucking movie. And also, I think, Nick, that's the lowest grade he's ever given a movie on the show.
On this show, I believe.
I think that's even lower than Power Rangers.
Well, he gave that a 9 out of 10. So, I mean, of course, it's way lower.
Oh, yeah. He loved that one. I forgot. I'm sorry. I was wrong about that one.
I would rather watch Power Rangers again than watch the Death Wish remake. I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's fine technically, but the way this movie hit me, like, it pushed all of my buttons in a way that is, well, it's really beyond words, believe it or not. So I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Jesus. Well, I am,
there it is,
really, really glad that I didn't go see it. I mean, more so now. I mean, I was on the same bench as Justin. I mean, even though I don't have nearly the history with it that he does, but Yeah, I was on that bench the whole time. It never looked interesting to me. It just looked like complete and total ass. It looked like it completely shit all over the original. And I'm glad that, yeah, that's pretty much exactly what it did based on that review. So,
I wholeheartedly recommend watching Death Wish 3. Anyone who's listening,
oh my God,
watch Death Wish 3.
Please.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Watch Death Wish 3. A dude gets blown up with a fucking rocket launcher.
See, I can't explain why I enjoy that so much and tone. Watching the new
tone.
The new Death Wish. It's all tone. About tone.
It's all about tone.
Yeah, the tone of that, especially Death Wish 3, is absurdly over the top. Absurdly. So it's almost meant to be somewhat cartoonish. You know, and I mean, even when the bad guys are getting mowed down, I mean, it's not like you're seeing like blood and guts and everything spray everywhere.
Can you imagine the tone of the original Death Wish with the over the top violence of Death Wish 3?
No.
Cuz that's what this new movie is. It's horrible.
Oh God. We're going to let Loy Sauce out of it. He's going to have to go to the bathroom now and just scrub his eyes out as hard as he possibly can until he possibly blinds himself temporarily. Just to try to wash the sting and the stink of this movie out of his eyes. But that's it, gentlemen. That's it. We've already gone pretty long on the show tonight, so we're going to go ahead and call it a night here. Go away.
It's done. It's over.
Get out.
It's past my bedtime.
Oh, I didn't even have the soundboard turned up to play that. I was trying to troll Justin with the sound clip, and I couldn't even goddamn do it.
You know, out of all of our episodes that we've done in the past 6 months to a year,
man,
this is the smallest amount that you've actually trolled me with the soundboard. I mean, I'm liking this. I like the uncut thing, you know, because you're not on your game, so to speak, because you're let it all free fall. I'm sure your dick's hanging out.
Well, it
I'm sure
definitely
your pants
is.
Are down and you're nude and hey, man.
I mean, I like this because I want to get back into the live streaming thing again. A lot of people really loved that. We may be doing some just over in the dumpster, just right over in the Hopesters dumpster for just our fans to see, just the people that join the Hopesters dumpster. So join the Facebook group if you have not joined it yet. It's facebook.com/groups/epicfilmguys. Join the dumpster and you're going to be able to see some exclusive episode recordings coming up soon. I love just the ability to kind of roll everything live. It's more fun. It's better. I don't know. And like I said, it doesn't mean dick to downloads anyway, whether I edit the show, whether I like lose sleep and spend 16 hours editing the episode versus if I just slap the different endings on it and slap the pre-roll on it for the patrons and put it out there.
You guys let us know. Whatever. Those of you that actually give a shit, tell us what you like. If you like the uncut, we'll stick with it. If you say, no, we want Nick to work 15 hours a week editing the show, well, I can't do anything to force him to do it, but we're all about having
Listen,
fun
I'm
here.
Tell
we're
you,
all
I'm
about you guys having fun.
That. Nobody.
I'll put a poll up again.
God damn you and
that
your
seemed
fucking
to work.
Polls.
Stop ganging up on me.
It's been a great time tonight.
What's
See,
happened,
I love this whole uncut. I love this whole just we're just going to sit down, be a bunch of dudes hanging out, drinking some beers, talking movies. That's what we started as, Nick, even before the podcast, and that's what we do in person, and that's what the show should reflect.
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks
in a row?
I mean, yes, and that does come up occasionally, once in a great while.
Once
I was telling someone
while.
Recently, Nick, to be fair, to mention this real quick before we end the show.
That's the weirdest
someone was asking,
segue you've ever used on the show. Ever.
Weirdest, strangest, because again, it's uncut, so you can't
hang him,
cut it to
kill
make
him,
me sound
hang
better.
Him, hit him!
I don't wish harm against anyone unless you like the new Death Wish movie. Then, yeah, sure, torture porn against you.
I gotta find a positive review of that movie and read it. Like, listen to Loy Sauce's review and then read, like, the most positive review of it I could possibly find, which is gonna be hard.
I've
I think
seen
it's
none.
Like, isn't it like an 8% or some shit on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, I didn't even check. It's low, though.
I think it's 8. I think it's 18 last I checked, but.
Oh, what I was going to say is someone that I had just met, we were talking about stuff and I brought up the podcast and I was like, oh, but it's not required to listen to it. I was like, it's not really PC. I was like, you know, there is mention of the male genitalia quite often, and they just like literally stopped the conversation
when?
And looked at me dead serious and like just looked at me and like kind of questioned if I was being serious or not. And then like I had to do like a half fake smirk to be like, like, yeah, I kind of meant what I just said. Like, it's true. It's true. All of it. It happens every week on the fucking show. Okay. Nick talks about dick every fucking week on the show. All right. Damn it. Dick.
Listen, to be fair, and this is, I talk about EFG history a lot because I love culling the clips together, but way before the soundboard ever even existed, that's still all we ever talked about on this fucking show.
Not we, not you, way not before. Me, the lisp. I'm wondering if the lisp was Loisos the whole time in disguise.
It's
who knows?
It's possible.
I sucked a dick
I'll
last
suck
night.
Your wee.
See? I almost heard it there, but...
Oh my god, I love you, Loisos.
Pull out your penis and I'll start to blow. I'll suck your weed.
Oh my god. But ladies and gentlemen, we did have some iTunes reviews, but we're gonna save those for next week on the show. I maybe we'll still do that big iTunes prize pack giveaway if we ever feel like it, if we ever hit 100 reviews, which, like I said, it'll be circa like 2023 by the time we get around to it. But whatever.
I mean, if any of you listeners out there, here's the thing. We know that we have you listeners out there that aren't on our Facebook, that aren't on our Twitter, that aren't on our Instagram, that are just randomly out there, that, and you listen from all around the world because we see the geography out there. Hey, you guys, I know you have social media there. Come on. Head on over to our pages, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, or better yet, just go right to our iTunes and leave us a review. You guys get an awesome prize pack if you do it. If we get enough, I mean, just saying, you listen to the show, even if it's your first time, you're like, hey, I want some free shit. Why not? I mean, I like free shit.
Yep, we're always
hanging out with
Loisos
all the time.
Really fun digital codes and everything else. We're constantly just throwing stickers at people. I just ordered a whole shitload more stickers for the live stream for The Cure 2.0, which again, May 18th through 20th. I've been finalizing some more stuff for that, and I'm really trying to get the rest of those content blocks finalized probably by the end of the month, get our page set up, and I want to start taking early donations and have our merch ready by the end of the month so we can have a full like month and a half to just try to roll in some early donations and really get a good chip into that $5,000 goal that we have set. So please, oh, I just sort of half burped and it was weird. Damn this uncut format. But we've got all that stuff yet to come. And 2 days from now from when we're recording, so if you're hearing this on release day yesterday, I am going to be on the Sunshine Summit with Heather from the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast. Fantastic, inspirational podcast that she does out of New Zealand. Check that out. It's going to be like 9:30 p.m., but it'll be on her YouTube channel if you want to go check that out. And I actually just recorded earlier tonight with the guys from the Nixcast or Fanthropological. We talked about fad foods like the McRib, Justin's favorite thing to eat in the whole world.
When I used to work there, man, I'd eat one once in a while, and I might as well throw it in there here while we're talking about being guests on other shows. I have yet to record it, but according to Wes from Via VHS, it will land this week, most likely on Thursday or Friday. I will be joining him to talk all things Axel Foley. Beverly Hills Cop, baby. I'll be joining him to talk all things Beverly Hills Cop.
Very nice.
Yeah, man. So lots of guest spots. Loisos, who are you guesting with?
Your mama.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Wait till daddy sees you. He's going to whip you so hard.
Wait, Loisos, do you give her one of these? Do you give her the
check? Check sound check. Mm-hmm.
That and more.
Damn. Well, I think that's as good a place as any to end the show. So once again, follow the show all over social media. Find us on the podcatcher of your choice, literally everywhere at Epic Film Guys. Just search for us. We are like the first five or so pages of Google results. You cannot miss us. I promise next week on the show, hopefully a feature review, maybe as its own mini-sode. We'll see what I end up doing for Tomb Raider. Brand new video game adaptation is out there. Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft.
Yeah, Oscar winner.
The GOG.
Ooh, yeah.
It's got the GOG in it. I love the GOG. Walton Goggins.
The Goggins.
I love him. He's amazing. So I'm super looking forward to it. Can this film finally put a decent video game adaptation out there? on the big screen, inside of the big screen, inside of the big screen's ass. Put it in the biggest screens. I don't even know anymore. I'm just saying words to say it.
The anus.
Ladies
the anus.
And gentlemen.
The dick, the cock, the anus.
You guys are... See, you just said cock.
I meant like the male chicken.
We're changing the name of the show to the Epic Cock Guys. It just needs to happen. Epic Dick Guys, Epic Cock Guys. But thank you all very, very, very much for listening. You guys are absolutely wonderful and amazing. We love every single one of you out there. Loisos, the god of podcasting, thank you very much for joining us once again on the show with those three reviews. Since
thank you for having
me. I never get to go to the theater, and Justin's been slacking lately. I don't know what the hell he's been doing.
I saw one movie. Hey, I went out of town over the weekend, and I'm still thinking about meeting Arnold Schwarzenegger like
that's true.
2 weeks ago. And I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, hey, man, I met the fucking Terminator, dude. Sorry, I don't need to see any movies. I'm done. I've already accomplished everything I need to accomplish in life.
Okay? He has peaked,
Charles Bronson's dead, so I'll go sleep at Charles Bronson's grave for a few weeks, then I can die. But that's it. Yeah, I'm good.
Well, yeah,
but thank you guys. We love you.
You guys are amazing. Thank you all very, very much for listening. And we
will see you. Excuse me. We will see you
at the movies.
Network. You can check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.